The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. Putting some steam on the morning talk here with Mr. X. Been way too long since we've had you on the show here, Ed. Welcome back. Community researcher, fellow good guy. Probably should have been a lawyer. Maybe you are a lawyer in another incarnation, if you believe in that, Ed. Welcome back. Good to have you on.
Yeah. That's another incarnation is appropriate.
No, all
right. For sure.
Well, I think that I have to really admire you and Mark, who wrote me, and various other people who went to that Jackson County for All meeting yesterday at the Medford Library, the downtown meeting library, because essentially you have lost 2 hours of your life that you'll never get back, but you did it for a good cause, and I just wanted to appreciate that and express my appreciation to you. So now that we have that out of the way, what kind of conversation about the Democrats changing, wanting to change the charter and trying to fool the Republicans into going along with it, both in Jackson and Josephine County? Both counties are under attack. I think that's something to keep in mind. Well, these are Democratic charter changes. What's the story?
That's the thing. It's a combined attack against two counties. And the two counties in particular make up, you know, the Southern Oregon stronghold on what's left of sensible, common sense, real government interactions that we can count on. And it's just so troubling to sit and listen to these people and listen to the actual statements, the different things that they jump on, what they do, what they try to promote. And it's all based on lies. And there is no need to change our charter to these ways. And especially when you look at it, to add the commissioners, our population has increased, their salaries are so high. It's so much money. And at one point, it was just infuriating to me because of the ridiculousness of this. It was suggested that that Danny Jordan was so wrong in how he did this, and there's all kinds of room for money to be used in here. And one of the suggestions was office sharing amongst the commissioners.
Was there someone that seriously suggested that you could share an office as a county commissioner?
The lady that's leading the charge on this whole thing.
So Denise Krause? Denise Krause said that?
Yes.
All right. Now, what does she think this is? What does she think this is? This is like Access Incorporated, where, you know, you have to have witnesses even when one county commissioner goes into another office right now with another county commissioner.
Well, there was one of the pieces that I sent you, Bill, and I'm going to try to find it here quick. But it's a quote off, I think it was Ballotpedia. But the reality to it is that she has no prior governmental experience. And that was in the description in the voters pamphlet. Okay. And when you look at this, this is what we're listening to. Okay. And this is right out of the Ashland News, Democrat, Independent, Challenger, Dyer, and Roberts for County Commissioner. And it's the direct quote out of this article: Krause does not have any prior government experience, but served for 24 years as a professor with the University of Mississippi Medical Center. She is currently president of Health Data and Analytics, which she founded in 2017 to gather and analyze data in Oregon's health workforce. And but you look at it as the statement is, does not have any prior government experience. And that comes through with everything that she's talking about, and is especially there in the statement of share, you know, the commissioner sharing office space. And the reality is, each commissioner, that office is a sanctuary for us, okay? That nobody else, you know, they can't interact. All of these things are combined. This is the system. And now we have a group of people that want to change our system, but especially one that for 24 years she was with the University of Mississippi. Okay, so you come here, you run for county commissioner, even though you have no prior governmental experience, but now you want to tell us how to live. And you want to change our entire system of government. But this just goes right along with the Josephine County thing. Okay, it's a basic thing of converting our system of government to make us more subordinate to the state of Oregon. Okay, that's the reality to all of this. And this whole conversation has to be out about a very simple thought process. And that thought process is you have to vote in this election. I don't care how busy you are. I don't care how you don't think it matters. You've got to vote, and you vote no against this.
All three of those, all three of the Jackson County for All proposals, and if you're in Josephine County, it has to be no on 17-116. It is a coordinated attack.
No. It's a coordinated attack, and it's because we're the last stronghold of self-determination. That's the reality to it here. We at least have a commission that listens to the people. That's the reality. All of these things combined don't add up to the need to do this based upon their little feelings or, oh, they want to have, go have involvement. All of these things, the newspaper articles I've paid attention to, the news statements, on all the different stations, everything comes down to a very one-sided statement of accusation that, these things are wrong and they're violating the law. They file all these grievances. They file this, they file that. Well, the reality to it is that grievance is immaterial till it's decided. And if the grievance is ridiculous, and it's been proven so far that they are.
In fact, the grievance that Krauss filed, in my opinion, Ed, shows that this person has absolutely no clue of how government actually works.
No clue whatsoever.
And yet...
They're making it up.
What was that, Ed? I'm sorry, I'll stop.
They're making an objection against a meeting that was defined as a work session. Well, the work session is for the administrator was sharing what he compiled, which one of the people that spoke there last night, a former commissioner, on KOBI this morning, I listened to it again. And he basically said he prepared an excellent piece. It was well broken down.
Yeah, that was former Commissioner Dave Gilmore. And yet Dave Gilmore is one of the petitioners on this scheme, this Democratic Party scheme.
Well, that's exactly right. And when you look at it, that work session, that's what's important about understanding how government works or how local government is supposed to work. A work session does not include the public other than as an observer. They can listen to it. They don't share anything because that's information for the commissioners to ultimately make a decision about what they're doing. And the reality comes down to, let me see here, I think that's not it. But when you look at this whole thing, the statement here is, this is an Oregon Public Broadcasting, okay? And one of the leaders of Jackson County for All of Us, Denise Krauss, previously ran for board as a Democrat. Okay? So she ran as a Democrat. That's public information. The current three commissioners are Republican. Well, that statement, fine. But the county commission seat, when you vote for a commissioner, you're voting for a nonpartisan operation, but you're looking at what do they represent as your representative. Do they represent common sense?
Yeah. What is their worldview?
Ability to make a decision?
Yeah.
That's right. And that's the definition. They're arguing the point that, oh, it should be a nonpartisan. Okay. That's literally a typographical thing that you could put in. But the reality is most people, when they're picking and choosing among someone, they want to know how they think, what kind of representative. This is a representative form of government. I want to know how these people think.
This is, what they want to bring, what Denise Krauss and the other Democrats want to bring with Jackson County for All, with these three proposed county charter changes, same with the Josephine County situation, is the same kind. They want to bring the same kind of lack of transparency to voting for county commissioners that it is when you go to try to vote for a judge right now. You try to vote for a judge, You can't ask them any questions. You can't really know where they're coming from. We got this and that. Now, I know Joe County's already nonpartisan, but, it's a predominantly conservative county, much more, considerably more red than Jackson County. But what they really want to do is just hide more of it. Denise Krause ran as a Democrat. She's failed as a Democrat because the Democratic worldview, which controls most of the state of Oregon, Ed, is not as popular here. It's not as popular, and they don't like that aspect of it, which is why they want to change the rules. There we go.
Well, then that's the reality to it, Bill, and that's what we have to pay attention to. You know, going to Josephine County, that's part of our conversation here. Mm-hmm. I just urge every voter in Josephine County to think about one thing, is that this entire premise that they brought this forward with was wrong from the beginning, because this, their whole situation was literally put together by the commissioners. The commissioners put together what they figured was a nonpartisan group to study the existing charter for proposed changes that would help in the current day, okay, since the charter hadn't been amended in a while. Well, that group wasn't happy with the outcome of having a truly nonpartisan discussion on it. Then they splintered off and created a group of people that were literally partisan because they wanted to repeal and replace the charter. Now you look at this, well, you're not going to repeal and replace our charter, but now you want to modify it and change it to five. And now you're creating California.
And by the way, you also have to remember here, Ed. By the way, Ed, Mr. X, Ed is with me this morning, and talking about this meeting of Jackson County for All. You have to remember that this is all incremental. What they're trying to do in Jackson County is specifically, it may not be districts right now, but I will guarantee you, Kathy Shaw has her fingers all within this group. You know, she's really the Democratic Party brain here in Southern Oregon. Okay, she's the strategy.
I'm going to put it as factually and as bluntly as I can, Bill. We've had the past 5 years now of relatively smoke-free summers. If you've been here longer than 5 years, you know what I'm talking about, okay? The reality is our summers for 3 years in a row were so bad. It was destroying the economy. It was destroying the ability for people to live here without medical harm. We were impacted with smoke, and our county commission figured out a cure for that. That's the reality. And as it was, as it is, and what these people are trying to do is get it to where the ability of self-determination for your own health, safety, and welfare will disappear if you listen to this. You listen to these people, the way that they talk, oh, it's so glorious, we're going to do this. Even their figures, you know. I was talking to you privately. There was one of the emails that I sent you was, some numbers. And this is from the Secretary of State. And this is as of 2021, September. And this is a PDF document. You have it there for you, Bill. Mm-hmm. And it's the numbers, right? Democrats in Jackson County, 45,515. Republicans, 49,285. Non-affiliated, 54,121. Independents, 8,363. Libertarians, 1,237. Pacific Green, 398. Progressive, 125. Working Families, 304. Constitution, 275. And Other, 914. But now you go to the Jackson County for All website, and this was a PDF of a letter to the newspaper, and it says the three urban elites currently on the board are adherents of a partisan political group that represents less than 30% of Jackson County voters.
And guess what? Well, the Democrats that they want to put in there represent even less. Fewer.
That's right. So their principles are representative of less. And I mean, so I look at it. You look at it, and how are these people, doing their math? Well, they're doing it with a predetermined outcome of let's deceive the people into making a decision that is ultimately harmful. And the reality to it is that they want to blame the commissioners for doing their job, which is representing us. And if they go to a work session, in a work session, by the rules of the county, the public doesn't get involved in work sessions.
But Denise Krause and the fellow travelers over there at Jackson County for All are acting as if it's a conventional public meeting.
That's right. Oh, they have input. They refuse to share. They don't get that information. They can listen to it,
Which shows it once again why I think we know why Denise Krause lost in her run for county commission. Just saying.
Well, it goes back to the statement in the voter's pamphlet. She has no prior governmental experience.
But I think it shows a deeper problem. I don't want to make this personal about Denise Krause, but what this does what this does indicate, though, is that the Democratic Party is very frustrated here. And so if they're going to file a complaint, whatever it takes, whatever lies it takes to throw in there, it'll be just like everything else. You know, the complaint that they have is absolutely without merit. All right. It'll get batted away, but it'll be like a retraction in the Rogue Valley Times. Right. Everybody runs the story. Oh, problems with the county commission. Well, you better change things like that. And then, of course, it'll get batted away. But this is the way they operate. Okay, we have to understand this. This is the way they operate. Are frustrated, and this is about more power and destroying the ability for Jackson and Josephine County to resist the depredation of the state agency relationship. Okay,
and that's the thing people have to understand, that this is a plan over a long period of time, and it goes back to the 70s. Okay, it goes back to where we voted on our charter. Our charter for Jackson County was originally voted on, I think it's 1978. The reality is that was right at the same time period as SB 100. And the only thing about our charter that doesn't work in my mind, this is how I view it because I've analyzed it so deeply, as you know, is the agency of the state relationship preceding the body politic part of it.
The legal definition of our relationship to the state, right?
That's right. And that's the thing, because that forces the county commissioners, okay, the county to react to government, to the statewide government executive orders. And one of the things that I want to illustrate here, okay, with that statement, there's an executive order, okay, and I'm taking this off the OregonLegislature.gov. It's a download for a committee meeting document, okay? And it's called Energy 101, Oregon State Climate Programs and Actions. In March 2020, Governor Kate Brown issued Executive Order 20-04 directing Oregon state agencies to take a series of significant actions to reduce emissions of greenhouse gases and help prepare for the effects of climate change in Oregon. Now, when you read this, this is 38 pages, okay, that they're addressing this in for the legislature. Many initiatives are collaborative among several agencies. Well, what is the county by nature? It's a state agency.
Yep.
So is Josephine County. So our feelings about this don't matter because we voted it in, so it's constitutional. That's the part of the charter that needs amendment. But these people want to take it to where we have to suffer over these executive orders even more.
Because they want it that way. They want it. They want it.
That's the reality.
That's the reality of what this is.
They want to sit back. They want to sit back and govern by consensus, govern by stakeholders, govern by the nonprofit organizations.
Governed by the predetermined outcome. Governed by the predetermined outcome in every aspect of public government.
And it's when I sit there and I listen to how these people and how they don't understand how this is supposed to work. And the reality is it's about people having direct, you know, input into this thing. But with five commissioners in there, what are you going to have? You're going to have, then let's share office space. Oh, let's find the money to do this. We did a study and we find that it's going to be cheaper. Well, it actually isn't cheaper. Okay, Danny Jordan proved that to them. But the reality is he proved it to the commissioners, and all the commissioners were doing was having a work session so they could prepare the county for the future if this thing passed. That's the reality. That's what that meeting was all about.
Yeah, and they didn't like the idea that Jordan told the truth about it, though, Ed. That's what it was. That's what they're really upset about.
That's the thing.
Because they're claiming out there, it's not going to cost any more money. That's not the only reason to vote no on it, because the thing is, the wrong people want this. The people that want this are the ones that want to destroy what little common sense is left in government, in the state of Oregon. That's what they want. That's what they want.
They make blatant statements that they're representing less than 30% of the voters. Well, that's not, they're representing even less. But that's how the whole consensus thing works. It's taking the wants of a few, the desires of a few, and trying to morph it into some magnificent power base and just storm over the people without telling them what you're actually doing, what you're actually trying to do.
All right, Ed, you just won the interwebs on that one. Ed, you just won it. Okay, I'm just running out of time. Hang on just a moment. We have maybe some people want to ask a call or make a comment or two. Can you hang on just for a quick segment? Be right back, okay? Mr. X with me here on KMED, KCMD.
How do you know you're selling your home with the right agent? Hey, it's Lars. I'm going to tell you, in Medford and Southern Oregon, the right agent is Jared Hokanson of Hokanson Realty. Trust Jared to get the job done. With Jared and his team, you're going to get years of experience and the know-how to navigate the market right here in Medford. Jared and his team have exclusive strategic options to get your home sold. Combined with Jared's highly effective marketing, why would you think of working with any other agent in Medford or Southern Oregon? Best of all, Jared guarantees to sell your home at a price and a deadline you agree to, or he buys it. Now, you know why real estate expert and Shark Tank star Barbara Corcoran and I can't stop talking about Jared Hokanson. Call the only agent I recommend in Medford and all of Southern Oregon. Call Jared Hokanson at 541-772-SOLD. That's 541-772-SOLD. Or go online to 541-772-SOLD.com and start packing.
Okay, that settles it. We're closing the store. I mean, Garrison's Warehouse Clearance Center is hard to find. Even GPS gives up sometimes. So we're calling it a day, closing up shop, and clearing out everything. While at last, get beautiful, brand new, big name furniture for up to 75% off. So if you can find us, you'll make out like a bandit. All sales are final at the store closing because nobody can find us sale through March 9th only at Garrison's Warehouse Clearance Center. Garrisons.com.
This is Bill Meyer. Appreciate you waking up mornings with me, 6 to 9 on KMED and KCMD. But I get it. Life can be busy. Sometimes you might miss a show or segment or what did that guest say again? And that's when you can catch up and stay current with my podcast. The last 3 months of shows are available for free download and sharing on KMED.com. Podcasts are sponsored by Clouser Drilling, and they're online at ClouserDrilling.com. And thanks to Clouser, you can drill into what really happened on The Bill Meyer Show on KMED.com.
Access your stored items in comfort. Storage at Exit 24 has climate-controlled elevator access units from 5x5 to 10x30 that are warm in the winter, cool in the summer, and always well-lit and secure. Visit storageatexit24.com.
The Bill Meyer Show, 106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD.
8:34, back with Mr. X, Ed, community researcher, friend of actually good government. Not the consensus process that all the Democrats of, you know, Jackson County for All and Citizens for Responsible Government in Josephine County are trying to bring in, these intrusions into the county. And let me go to Logan. Logan, you're with Mr. X. Go ahead. Fire away.
Hey, first of all, I want to start by thanking Mr. X for being there and all the other patriots that were there that decided to show up. I know all the commissioners. I'm actually getting ready to head to the commissioners meeting now. I know the commissioners, and I know Danny Jordan personally. What went on there, he's not exaggerating. Denise almost started to even elicit to ride-sharing when they go to events. I was waiting for her to say, hey, why don't they just bicycle to work? It's utter nonsense. If you didn't leave your common sense and your logic at the door, you were having a tough time at that meeting. So I just want to thank people for being there, and thank you, Mr. X.
All right. Ed, that's an interesting way of putting it. If you didn't check your common sense at the door, it was a problem, right, going to that meeting.
That's exactly right. I cannot tell you how it was infuriating to see these people wanting to change our form of government. And that's the reality. Our last protection constitutionally is a strong county government. And our county commission for the last 12 years has functioned in a way to create a protective net over us. And that's the reality. The only thing that can mess with that, and this goes for Josephine County too, you don't alter something that's been working based upon somebody's inexperienced demand or need to satisfy their own personal ambitions. And these are, you know, this is the most important thing to remember. But the biggest thing is, this is a minor election to a lot of people. A lot of people are going to ignore this. But the reality is, we have to do, and one thing you have to do is vote no on this. Now, one other thing I want to point out, and I'm trying to figure this out. This is really disturbing to me because there was a thing that flashed across the screen, and it said measure 1, 2, and 3. Well, if I remember correctly, and I'm a pretty good student of this stuff, and I understand it far better than they do, but it's the county clerk who assigns the ballot measure number to these things. Now, I'm trying to get today where we can check with Chris Walker and to see if that's the fact, if that's the truth, and understand that when it comes, if it actually makes it there, if the signatures are verified and it makes it to the ballot, is it actually going to be 1, 2, and 3? Is it that simple that they can put the measure number on there? I don't believe it is. I believe the county clerk assigned that number to it.
Interesting.
So what we have is that they just, vote yes on 1, 2, and 3. Well, I'm sorry. I don't know if you can say that statement, but we could say vote no on 1, 2, and 3. That's the reality. But the second part of it is, are they, you know, to sit back and understand how this all works, it's very disturbing that this is the latitudes that they're taking.
All right. Mr. X with me. Let me go to Dave. Dave, you're on with Ed. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Look, I hear a lot of kind of outrage and concern here, and I feel the same way, Bill. I've heard you talk many times like about the education system where, you know, people are like, well, you know, the system is a bloody mess, but my school is fine.
Right.
And I see a lot of that in Southern Oregon. I hate to say it because I lived in Portland for a long time years ago. And, you know, when you talk to people down here, they're just like, it's bad in Portland and it's bad in Salem. You know, we're removed from it here, but we're not. And this is just the perfect example of how the Democratic Party is never going to give up here. They're going to keep going. And that's kind of the basis of my question here. Okay, so this thing's a big lemon, mm-hmm. and it's kind of, the results are going to be bad. So what are we going to do? Okay, that's always the question I have in Oregon, because whatever you say about the Democrats, they're organized and they have money.
Oh yeah, and well,
I'm just wondering.
Yeah, you're wondering what's going on here. I'm just running short of time here, Dave.
Yeah,
there is organized opposition going up against this. I understand that there is a PAC that's going to be coming out. That's what I'm told. This is what I'm hearing. But I have to tell you, I'm going to be writing a statement in the voter pamphlet. It's going to cost me $400, you know, to do it, because I'm not taking this standing down. I'm just talking about this personally. Those are the kind of actions we need to take. And I got to tell you, Jackson County Republican and Josephine County Republicans are on the dime, or better be getting on the dime on this one. It takes us.
Well,
they
better be.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm getting at here too. All right. Appreciate the call. Let me go to Kevin Chrisman. Hello, Kevin. You with Ed? Fire away. Let's hear it.
Hey, Bill. Yeah, I was at the meeting last night, too, and just wanted to point out that we did have probably a 2-to-1 showing there of Patriots to the organizers. So even though the media may spin that a different way, we did have a good showing. I want to thank everybody who showed up. It was really a good show up. Anyway, the thing that I think was saying the quiet part out loud, there was a question that was asked by Karen Schrader, one of the council members from Phoenix. And she said, are we going to be able to vote for all 5 members? And Denise Krause said, oh, of course, everyone will get to vote. And it's a subtle question. She said, because there's this talk about them creating wards and starting to gerrymander. And Denise Krause was very adamant about saying, no, that will not happen. We're not doing that. Absolutely not.
Oh, no, they're not doing that right now, Kevin. But that's the plan.
Dave Gilmore said the quiet part out loud because he said, not yet.
Not yet.
And that's exactly what this is about. They're trying to get under the you know, get this in as seeming like it's a reasonable thing to be doing and getting these fat cats out. And it's really going to be changed once they get their foot in the door, there's no stopping it.
Kevin, that's a great statement. Ed, I don't think you could disagree with what he said there. Could you?
I cannot at all. And that's the thing that we all have to pay attention to. But we all have to get, okay, like the other caller, when he went to the thing of what do we do? Well, what we do is we have to vote. We have to sit down and say, not on my watch.
And you have to encourage your family and friends and your colleagues about this, too. You have to get outside of your own silo on this, okay?
Everybody you come in contact with, you have to sit down and say, how are you going to do this and why you don't want to do it? And there's a thing here I'd like to point out if I have the time, Bill, and I'll respond if you say we have a few moments.
Okay, just a few moments, and then I got to wrap. I'm turning into a pumpkin, okay? Thanks.
Right. There's a big thing, okay, it's perception, right? It's perception. So they're trying to put up like the county commissioners are, you know, resisting them, and they're accusing them, and they're filed all these grievances and complaints, and you do all this stuff.
Oh, they're throwing sand in the air. It's BS,
well,
okay?
This is the point I'm trying to make. And this is out of an Oregon Public Broadcasting, which is normally a far left, you know, interpretation of things. But the reality is, Chair Rick Dyer appeared to oppose the measure, saying, for what's being proposed here, five commissioners, nonpartisan, and reducing the pay, I'm going to say, what do you get for that? Well, you get, I believe, less effective, less transparent, and certainly more expensive government. And then the most important part of this, to understand what I said, is about perception. So the perception is they're the underdog, they're being trampled on, and all these mean, terrible people. In a letter sent Thursday, Jackson County Senior Assistant Counsel Madison Simmons wrote, and this is a quote, Mr. Jordan's review and report served only to provide information to the commissioners, thus verifying, again, that part of that is showing that it was a work session for the county to prepare if this were to pass. So information to the commissioners, county employees, and the public regarding the possible effects of passage of the petitions introduced by JCFA. Therefore, I conclude that the county, the commissioners, Mr. Jordan, and any other named or unnamed employees of Jackson County have not violated state statutes. The Secretary of State is reviewing the group's request to see if an investigation is needed. Well, the reality to that is that there will not be an investigation needed because these claims are baseless in that regard. They're made by inexperienced people that don't understand this aspect of it. And because you want something, you can want it all you want. If you're approaching it with the attitude that they are, you don't need necessarily get it. And I'm sorry. But the reality is I will fight this until my grave. This is the biggest intrusion that you can imagine, where we have one last form of self-determination of what we can do to fight these intrusions. And that having someone like this come in here and exist 24 years somewhere else, be here 5 or 6 years, 7 years, whatever it is, I don't know how long, I don't care. You don't get to tell me how I'm going to live.
All right. On that note, Ed, thank you for the work and the report. We'll have you back, okay? Take care.
Okay, bud.
Mr. X, Ed, it is 8:44, and so we'll wrap that segment. This is the Bill Myers Show on KMED, KCMD.
This hour of the Bill Myers Show is brought to you by Johnson Builders, Southern Oregon's leading authority on post-frame and steel buildings for over 20 years.
It's home show season. The next one for Johnson Builders will be Southern Oregon Home Show at the Jackson County Expo in early May. But you don't have to wait to get low home show pricing right now for any building you need. From a small shop to a huge riding area, residential or commercial, Johnson Builders is the leading authority on post and frame construction in the region. So get a quote on your project and take advantage of special home show pricing. Visit Johnson.Builders.
Johnson Builders, building for your future.
Hi, it's John at Welburn's Weapons. The only thing better than shooting is shooting with a suppressor. Welburn's is Southern Oregon's suppressor headquarters, stocking models from Silencer Code, Dead Air, Griffin Armament, Rugged, Q, Thunderbeast, and many more. And we can order practically any suppressor on the market. Check in with us for monthly incentives to save on suppressors, too. Come see the suppressor experts. Welburn's Weapons on Crater Lake Highway, just south of White City.
Siskiyou Pump Service and Rotary Drilling Company takes pride ensuring their customers get fresh, clean water from field to tap. Here's a review from Joe.
I had a water softener in my well pump house and a reverse osmosis system installed. I had absolutely no problems before, during, or after the installation. The on-time technician was professional, knowledgeable, and skilled. I would absolutely recommend Siskiyou Pump Service.
providing fresh water for Rogue Valley residents for over 50 years. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
We've heard it all.
A two-car accident in my own driveway. Yikes.
I should have cut down that tree a long time ago.
So now I know what soft shoulder means.
But the reason you need auto body repair doesn't matter to us as much as making your car look new again, and the process easy for you. At Lithia Body and Paint, we've been getting Southern Oregon drivers back on the road since 1946. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
Hey Medford, you asked for it, you got it. Violets and Cream, this year's three-time Gold Award winner and Best of Southern Oregon, introduces an unbeatable lunch or dinner combo where you can indulge in a giant slice of New York-style cheese pizza, savor a craft soda just like the good old days, and top off the meal with a delicious scoop of small-batch ice cream for just $10. This offer won't last long, so stop by today and enjoy exclusively at Violets and Cream Medford in the McAndrews Shopping Center.
The Rogue Gardener, sponsored by Grange Co-op.
If we select certain plants and manage a habitat with a purpose, even a small plot can provide very high quality overwintering habitat for the insects that pollinate our plants and beneficial insects that attack harmful insects in our gardens.
Call Stan Saturdays 10 to noon and Sunday morning encore at 9 on KMED and KCMD.
106.3 KMED, 99.3 KCMD. And this is the Bill Myers Show.
Yeah. Now, I ran along with Mr. X. We had some calls, and we're going to have more calls on Conspiracy Theory Thursday about this. 8 o'clock hour, I'm going to try to keep relatively open on it. But boy, there's a lot of passion on this push by the Democrats, and remember, they're Democrat charter changes in Jackson under the Jackson County for All, and then Citizens for Responsible Government, or whatever it's called in Joe County, with 17-116. It's the same stuff. It's the same stuff, and I know you're very passionate about it, but we'll do our best to talk more about it tomorrow, okay? All right? And we'll make that as part of Conspiracy Theory Thursday, which is the open conspiracy. It's right there in your face being shoved at you, okay? Open for business right now. And we're going to shift gears here a little bit for the final few minutes of the program. And we have Randall from Advanced Air, myadvancedair.com. You call him at 772-6866. Randall, it's, you know, I know that the way the system is working right now is that there's all sorts of stuff in the Inflation Recovery Act and all these other things. There's money on the table, and whether we agree with this or not, the money's there. And so if you're looking to stay warm or stay cool, you at least have to consider that, and you'll help out over at Advanced Air. Fair enough? Would that be a good way to put it?
Yeah, good morning, Bill. Thanks for having me. Yeah, there are a lot of rebates and incentives through the Reduction Act, the Inflation Reduction Act, and also framed a lot of times through Energy Trust of Oregon and also the Department of Energy. You can go there for resources on some of those, or you can call us and schedule an on-site consultation, and we can let you know what you're eligible for. Typically, there are some efficiency standards that we're trying to meet. There's some income qualifying factors that need to be met, but there are thousands of dollars in rebates available for new HVAC systems.
Yeah, and part of the reason for thousands of dollars available for new HVAC systems is that you're telling me, though, that once again, the regulators are changing the refrigerants and going to different refrigerants. There's 410, R410, which I think we've been using, R410A, that has been mostly in our systems for the last few years. R22, that was kind of made obsolete a few years ago, wasn't it? I don't know if I'm...
Yeah.
Right. What's the story there?
That's correct. Yeah, so new refrigerants, you know, your calls a lot of this morning have been about government intrusion, and certainly there's a lot of government influence on HVAC. Higher energy standards have influenced, for just an example, a new refrigerants. We're trying to meet the Department of Energy's pretty rigorous expectations, and you know, even certain fuel types are being regulated on how we can heat spaces. And so all of that is influencing and even incentivizing how people can you know, spend their money and what kind of HVAC systems they qualify for.
Is this also being done in the refrigerator world, not just the HVAC? Because I'll take a look at a chest freezer as an example, and I think, what is it, R600 or something like that? It's like a pentane, isopentane, or I forget the name of it.
Yeah, and you saw, yeah, absolutely, and you saw in the news even, you know, over the past several weeks about, you know, gas ranges, cooktops being banned in certain, you know, counties and certain states. And, yeah, all of this is relative to language nested in, you know, the Inflation Reduction Act and other, you know, incentive, you know, climate incentivized, regulatory programs.
All right. Now, what this means, though, is that if you're looking at an older system, we're now getting to that tipping point where you have an old R22 system that goes bottoms up. You know, just, you know, pushing up daisies, you know, so to speak.
Yeah, R22, if your system is failing, if you're having mechanical failures on older equipment, you know, that's 10, 15 years old, it's probably not going to be worth fixing it. You're going to want to look at replacing it. The turnaround for R410A is going to be a little bit longer, a little bit slower as that gets – it's a slower phase down. But it is happening, and all of the new equipment coming out a year from now – is going to be a new refrigerants, and there's a lot of research and development and everything that goes into that. New models are being created, new tools are being created to install and work on all of this new equipment.
Now, what that means is that it's going to be more expensive, right? Doesn't that mean it's going to be more expensive? Sorry to interject there, but that's really what it means.
Yeah.
Correct?
Yeah, yeah. So if you're waiting to replace your system, hoping that maybe prices are going to come down and soften a little bit, that is not going to be the case in HVAC.
Okay.
In fact, most, if not all, manufacturers have just had increases between about 4% and 8% just since the beginning of the year.
Just since this year, okay. And we're not even talking about what it's looking like going into 2025. With brand new equipment or newly designed with a new refrigerant, 454B will be more expensive than likely 410. So if you have a 410, you could buy a 410 system this year and maintain that for a while, couldn't you? Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, you could. And from what I've heard from some insiders is nothing official, but there's an expectation that there could be up to another 20% in cost increase through this phase, this phasing in of the new refrigeration, the new equipment, the new tools, and research and development being recaptured, and that's what I'm hearing right now. So, you know, now's the time to replace, or at least budget for it. Get some ideas. You're going to have some time on the R410A still, but don't wait too long for sure.
All right. And we're talking with Randall with Advanced Air, myadvancedair.com, and you can call him at 772-6866. And you have all of these Energy Trust of Oregon rebates and financing options, the Oregon Department of Energy Inflation Reduction Act, in-house rebates on qualifying Bryant units.
That's a great deal.
You have that on right now. That's up to $1,000, right?
Yeah, and that's unique for our organization. $1,000 up to $1,000 in rebates on Bryant ductless, mini split, and crossover heat pump systems. Depending on the system you're putting in, there's that, and that can be stacked with other rebates, other incentives. So $1,000 up to $1,000 off on Bryant mini split and crossover systems.
All right, very good. And right now is a good time because we could be looking then, just between inflation and the different new equipment rolling out in 2025, that your $12,000 system could be 15 to 16 to start next year. Is that kind of what I'm hearing? Is that sort of
very likely? And what inevitably happens is as they roll out new equipment, they phase out old equipment. So we expect more supply chain disruptions as this all takes shape.
All right, just trying to deliver the news so you can make an informed decision here about what's going on in your home or your business that that you're looking for some HVAC on. MyAdvancedAir.com, the website for Randall and the crew there. We wanted to give you a some useful intelligence here as we're getting ready to head into spring here. And you're thinking it's a good idea to soft start air conditioning. And why is that? And what is a soft start, if you don't mind?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot of times people will wait to turn on their air conditioner that first week of, you know, 85-degree weather, and that can be a tremendous shock to the system. If you maybe you're at work all day or something, and you come home and you're like, wow, it was a lot hotter than expected. You turn on your air conditioner thinking that it's gonna offset that thermal load in an hour or two. If you have an older piece of equipment and we're up in that, you know, 70-75 degree range, I would encourage you to start it up when it's not overly necessary and allow it to run and kind of acclimate. It's been several months probably since you've had your air conditioner on or your heat pump in cooling mode. So you know, don't wait until your thermal load, you're already behind. Mm-hmm. Don't wait until your house is 95 degrees before you turn on your air conditioner or your heat pump. Give it a chance to acclimate, to turn on for the season, run it through its paces, and I think you'll be happy about the results.
You know, one of the best pieces of advice I ever received from you, Randall, because I have a heat pump, and of course your crew comes over and maintains it and, you know, takes a look at it, and it's still working good. Yeah. And it's one of those older ones. I mean, you guys are making sure that I'm going to be able to keep this going out to the bitter end. Then we'll see what happens. But you told me how, you know, with a heat pump, good idea to, and many times, especially in the winter, to just leave it set at one temperature. And I got to tell you, it does work. We only take it up and down maybe a degree, you know, really. Yep. And that's and that's about it, because it seems just to work much better. And that is something you would you recommend that in the summertime too? In getting
absolutely
okay.
Yeah, heat pumps are designed to maintain temperature for the most part. And so, you know, a degree or two set back if you're going to be gone for a few hours, a heat pump can overcome that. But you know, turning it off all day and then turning it back on in the evening, you're going to have, that's really taxing on the equipment.
All right. And you have all sorts of other help in design help available if you're looking for it, repair 24/7, become a Comfort Club member like we've mentioned before. But just get in touch, because, you know, you got a friend in this this business. Although the federal government is trying to make it very unfriendly.
I got to say, though, for those with rental properties, there are some really good rebates on heating and cooling systems for rental properties as well. So give us a call if you have a rental or two. There's some huge rebates on those.
Okay. Hey, anything that can help you is good. And that's 772-6866, 772-6866, and myadvancedair.com. And Randall on Open for Business. We always appreciate that. Thanks so much. Take care,
Randall. Thank you, Bill.
858.
American Rancher Garage is your premier auto care provider, serving Medford, Central Point, and the Rogue Valley, providing nothing less than the highest quality standard of professionalism on every single service and repair. Call today. Appointments are available for oil change to engine change. Get the peace of mind you deserve at American Rancher Garage on Biddle, across from Elmer's, 499-6673, 499-6673. American Rancher Garage. We stand behind every job we do with service you can trust.
Hi, this is Bill Meyer, and I'm with Charisse from No Wires Now, your Dish Premier local retailer. It's time to switch to Dish.
If you have DirecTV or cable TV, call me today to see how I can save you money. Plus, I'll lower your internet and cell phone bills.
And those offers in the mail from Dish, you can go through No Wires Now for those.
Call me at 541-680-5875.
Call Charisse like I did, or visit their showroom off Biddle Road in Medford, nowiresnow.com. Restrictions apply. Call for details. Internet and cell phone service not provided by Dish. Have your taxes gotten off track? Just call Zach, CPA at First Response Resolution. Visit firstresponseirs.com today to see what Zach can do for you. First Response Resolution in Eagle Point is your first response to the IRS, defending your rights as a taxpayer. Pretty heavy-duty morning, huh? Really appreciate your listenership. And the email, bill@billmeyershow.com tomorrow, Conspiracy Theory Thursday. Plenty of time for your calls in. We'll talk to you then. Mark Lee Van Camp and Robbins next, okay?
This is Bicoastal Media's KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point.